under my feet. Under my feet. My feet. Amen. Glory to God. You know, that was the easy part, to get to the camp and claim what was ours. No, the challenge is to keep it. That's what the battle is all at. So, you know, going out there and doing all this racket and doing all this stuff, yeah, it's fine. Now, the fight is just to keep everything that you possess every step of the way and never go back. Amen. Amen. So let us pray. Father, we thank you once again for the opportunity that you give us tonight to come, Lord, and have fellowship around the world with your saints, your children, Father, and thank you for, because we can gather together to praise you and to worship you. We still have the liberty, as our brother said, we do these things, Father. Maybe one of these days it won't be so, but as long as we had that opportunity, we wanna take care, we wanna reap the benefit of coming together, Father. Father, we ask your presence to come down in a mighty way. We ask you, Father, to speak to us tonight. Tell us what we have need of, tell us what where we are, where we're going, and what do we need to do, Father, to continue in this journey that we have started. We thank you for all your blessings. Thank you for what you have done so far. And we know, Father, that the end is better than the beginning. I know that in that day when all has been said is done and the last shell is and the last bullet is gone out and the smoke settled down, then we have victory, Father, with you forever and ever. Be with our pastor, Lord, and in every step he takes, every move he makes, every decision he makes, lead him, guide him, Father, and we ask you to cover him and protect him, Father. Bring him back home, Father, sound and safe and rest, Father. We ask you these things as well as this congregation. Be with us as the word go forward, Father, to speak to our heart. In Jesus' name we ask you these things. Amen and amen. Thank you, musicians. You can be seated. So, I did not expect to have another opportunity to continue with my saga, right? But hey, this is what the Lord wanted, or somebody else would have been here, not me. I was going to hand my notes to Andy when I seen him, but he don't want to do it, so. If I knew he was going to be, I said, here's my notes, you know, but he said, no, I'm going to be your amen corner. We thank you. So, as I said, we're going to continue the journey. And again, it was a 40-year journey. You cannot condense it in 1 hour. It's impossible. We do the best we can, but that is an impossibility, at least for me. So we take it a step at a time. Because that's what our journey is. It's just a step at a time. It's a process. You know, a little trip here, a little trip there, and a trip everywhere, and then sooner or later, you're there. But the thing is that a journey is not a trip. A trip is a short, you know, from point from A and B, and that's it. You got there, and that was the end of it. A journey is more than that. Mm-hmm. We decided that the journey is a self-knowing. So you are exploring yourself, who you are, what you are, where you're going. And that's what all this journey is all about. God wants you to know who you are. So, and this kind of a journey, you know, it takes a life, whatever your lifespan is. Because when God said, you ready? We're ready. But as long as you hear something, we still to accomplish in this life. And God is working on us, so it must be something that God still needs to work in our lives. And when we get done, then you don't see us anymore. Either by death or rapture, whatever way comes, you know. So let us consider the significance of the Pharaoh. I want to talk about Pharaoh resistance, because he not let people go that easy. You know, it wasn't like, I want my people, okay, you can have it. That's not how it works. You got to go to the enemy camp, and you better fight. Fight with what's yours, see. You're not taking no thing from somebody else, but that belongs to you. So the Pharaoh is not going to let you go. It's not that easy. You know, Satan is not going to sit there and say, okay, you win, I lost. Okay, no, no. No way. So in Exodus verse 5, 1 through 4. We want to read there. Start there. Oh, what happened to the water, Scott? They know I don't drink water, but sometimes I do. Anyway. Yeah, let's take this off too. It's getting a little warm up here. And afterwards, Moses, he says, and Aaron went in and told Pharaoh, "Thus says the Lord, God of Israel, let my people go, that they may hold a feast unto me in the wilderness." Now, the phraseology here, the way this is written, "let my people go." So we know that the people were not, did not belong to, thank you, brother. The people did not belong to Pharaoh. They never belonged to Pharaoh. You know, those people belong to God. Everything belongs to God. From the very beginning, he created everything. So for somebody to decide that this is mine and this is yours, they don't have that right. In fact, the only one that has right and authority over a human being is God. The only one that can have authority over a man is the Holy Spirit. Any man that's trying to have authority over another man is out of the place. It's wrong. A man or a church, I don't care, you know, whatever it is. No man but God. You know, that is our authority anyway. Sometimes, you know, like I said last Sunday, we come. But when we came really, you know, because God. It wasn't because you decided one morning you woke up and said, "I'm going to love divine." No, you don't even know love divine existed. And I didn't know it was a message. But God is what makes the things. He do things. So it make you, you know, it drive you to those things. Because if it was up to us, we would not do it. We are too complacent. We have everything we need. So I told you, God had to do something and made their life miserable with the tax masters and the work. And no hay and no anything. You know, now you're going to do it yourself. And then he made their life miserable so they got sick of being sick or being sick and get out of the place. See, that's what God wanted to begin with. So God dragged them to that point. And that's the same thing with me and you. The reason I'm here, because they threw me out of the Baptist church. And some of you were in some other places and your life was miserable. But you know what? They did me a favor. It's a blessing. So next time, you know, why don't you get a bouquet of flowers and send it to the pastor or to the church and tell him, "Thank you. Thank you. It has been a blessing when you put me out of church. In fact, it has been a blessing that you made my life miserable." You laugh, but man can't do nothing.
Right.
Amen. The devil, yeah, God let him loose. But it's not the man, it's the devil. But the man said, never, you know, accuse the man. Because it's not the man, it's the devil behind the man. He can use anybody. You know, it was, one time it was a woman, a sister, a Christian. She was in the airplane. And that was the first time she was in an airplane. And she was sitting next to someone that it was a pagan, you know, didn't believe in anything but themselves. So she started praying, you know, kind of to herself. And the guy kind of took notice, you know, and he started praying. And he figured, you know, wow, one of those, you know. So he said, "Lady, what are you praying for?" "Well, you know, this is my first flight, and I'm from the, you know, out there from the country, and I like oranges, and I would like to have an orange." "Well, what are you praying to God for? God is not going to bring you oranges." I said, "Well, you'll be surprised, but, you know, that's, I believe that we can tell God all our needs, you know." So she started praying, and she fell to sleep, you know, kind of do stuff. And the man said, "I'm going to play a trick on her, you know. I'm going to go over there and get some oranges, put it in her lap, and see what she's going to say when she wake up." So she took he went and got some oranges, put it in her lap, and she woke up, and she said, "Oh, praise the Lord." And the guy said, "What, praise the Lord? I went and got those oranges for you." Well, God can use the devil to deliver my desires anyway. Even that. And that's what the devil is at. See? So don't blame the people. God can use anybody to either bless you or either what? Drive you. If God sees the need that you are not moving when you need to move, God will do it. Brother Mann says, there's nothing can defeat the purpose of God. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise. You know, what are you worried? What is your worry? What are you complaining? God already said it, and it's going to happen. Amen. He said, there's nothing that can defeat the purpose of God. God has brought Moses forward, and Moses had to do what God told him to do. Because God's purpose cannot be defeated. Amen. So next time you're in problem, and Satan is giving you a hard time, remind him. You know, hey, I got a purpose. And that purpose is going to, God began that purpose and God is going to finish it. There's no way in heaven. There's no demons enough. There's not enough spirits in hell that can come down and separate me from that purpose. So whatever you go through, count it a blessing. That's what I'm saying. Don't get mad at the people that God used. If it's your wife or your husband sometimes, you know. But count it all joy that you're being tested. See, because the testing is for your own benefit. Why can't I not joy? Oh, I don't know if I can rejoice when I'm going through this mess. You know, oh, listen, you start telling people, you know, pool number one and second pool and third pool, you know, or your misery. But I tell you what, God sent that test for you. And we want you to rejoice during the test. Focus on the promise, focus on Christ, and rejoice. Why joy? Because the joy of the Lord is your strength. So why be miserable, wowsy-wowsy, and wow? In the meantime, you're getting all worked up, you're getting all, and everything else, depressed, oppressed, you know? And the devil's laughing at you. But if you rejoice, the Lord don't know what's, the Satan is saying, I don't understand this guy. The more I push, the more he laughs. You know? Until one of these days, the last test comes, and he says, I'm not going to bother with Brother Henry anymore. Every time I go over there, I get, you know, rebuked, and I'm out. You know? So rejoice, you know? Because the joy is the Lord. A strength of the Lord in our lives. So, because God's purpose cannot be defeated. I mean, that's enough for me to rejoice. That's enough for you to start running and shouting around. There's nothing. There's not a weapon that can be created that can destroy you. So you can be rejoicing. Because I don't care if an atomic bomb will blow right there in front of the church. I'm with my Lord. Right away. I don't. Just a little buggy that's going to take me home. Amen. Also, Brother Brown says, I know my Redeemer lives, he says, and all today, no matter how indifferent we seem to be at times, and how strange things goes, and how the church gets in this condition or that condition, it is all a divine purpose of God to mold us and make us in his own way. So if you count it all joy because God is shaping you, God is molding you through all these things that are happening in your life. See? It is all divine purpose of God to mold you, us, and make us on his own way. That is the whole journey. It's all about. It's the shaping and the molding. God has to do that because you have to come out with the same character of God. So God has to do that in your life. Has to work it. And sometimes he has to bring things, conditions. But count it all joy. Because once it's done, it's something that I'm going to acquire that I didn't have. Well, it's in me, but I didn't know it. But God has to show it to me. Said, who knows how to fashion the material more than the creator? Who? It's a question. Knows how to fashion. Are you going to be a referee? But I don't like this. Well, I like that one, but I don't know why I had to go through this. Well, because It was designed, customized just for you. You know, I don't know what it is to, while back I didn't know how to lose a father or mother. I didn't know all the things and people went through. Lose a husband, a wife. I cannot console you. I don't even know what it is. So I'm not going to lie to you or myself. I'm not going to tell you. I know how you feel. I don't. But see, you went through it. You can console somebody else. See? Because you went through it, then it's not only just to feel like you are, you know, alone and left alone, but it's for you to use that experience to help someone else. Because I haven't lost my wife, so I don't know what that is. Some people do. So, Exodus 5:2 says, "And Pharaoh said, 'Who is this Lord that I should obey his voice and let Israel go? I know not the Lord.'" Ain't that something? There's only two people in this world, one that know God and one that really, you know, some people know about God, but some knows God. See? It is not so much you knowing God, but it's how God knows you is the thing. You know, the disciples went out there and he gave them power to over demons and over spirits and over sickness, and they went out and they ripped it off. They went out there and they were doing it. But they came back and they're rejoicing and jumping. Hey, this is awesome. And Jesus said, you know, rejoice not because you can do that, but rejoice because your name is in the what? Yeah. See? So there's two different people. One that their names are in the book of life of the Lamb, and one and that they are not. So Pharaoh says, that I should obey. That's another thing. If you don't know God, you're not going to obey. So you hear because you obey God, because you hear the voice. You know the Lord. See, and the Lord knows you. But Pharaoh was the type of, I don't know God, and I'm going to let you go neither. John 14:20 says, "In that day we shall know that I am in the Father, and ye in me, and I in you." This is familiar to you. In that day. See? You need to know. You need to know for sure. See? That he is in you. And the Father in him, and he in you, and all you become one nice unity. See? But you need to know that. I cannot tell you that. The preacher can. The church can. Your wife, your husband, you know, your mom and your father cannot tell. You need to know that you are filled with his life. Because if not, things are not going to work out the way it should work out in our lives. I tried without the Holy Spirit. I was a good Baptist. I was a preacher. I had a church in Tucson, in Nogales, the highway. You know? And God was working with me and leading me and guiding me. At least I can see that now, what all this. But you know, I knew I was missing something. Okay? Finally, I got what I was missing. So you need to know that you know that he is in you, that you are elected, that you are called. Then John 10:27 says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow what? Me." Pharaoh could not hear the voice. He was not predestined to hear the voice. Cain was not predestined to hear the voice of God. So if you can hear the voice of God tonight, do not be used, do not reject it. You know, do as he says. See, if you hear the voice to him tonight is the day, today is the day, the acceptable day, not, well, maybe tomorrow, or maybe then. No, if God is dealing with your heart, tonight. Because you don't know if you're going to live the tomorrow. So, when you hear the voice, follow, it says, follow him, because that is what happened in the garden. You know, Cain, God is a just God. He don't want no one to die and go to hell. So he told Cain, "I know you cannot hear my voice." Revelation. You don't know me. You think you know me, but you don't have no revelation. So listen, I'll give you an opportunity here. Why don't you do what your brother? Amen. And Brother Brown says Cain was not a rebellious, a rebel. He was just as sincere Christian as his brother. They went to church because they didn't want to be bad. Nobody come to church to be bad. You want to be better. So Cain could not receive revelation because we know where Cain came from. So God said, well, imitate. You know, Paul says, imitate me as I follow Christ. There's nothing wrong if you don't, you know, if you come to church and you don't understand, just follow. You know, find out who are the people, you know, that are spiritual enough. Follow. There's nothing wrong with following, because one of these days, God will give you the revelation. In the following, you know, follow your pastor in all the teachings, you know. Maybe you don't understand everything that's coming out of this pulpit, but just follow. Amen. See? Because God is going to reward you anyway for the attitude. So he thought, can you, why don't you do what your brother did? And I said, well, why? You know, and we know what was the case. He was too proud. That spirit was too proud. He didn't want to do that. Why? Because he thought, his mommy told Cain, you know, Eve said, you are my firstborn. He wasn't the firstborn. Physically, he was the firstborn. So he thought everything belonged to him to begin with, the firstborn. But he didn't know exactly where he came from. So Eve says, thank you, Lord, for giving, a man from the Lord. So they told him, see, but that wasn't the case. God already chose who was. See, God's choosing. It's not man choosing. It is not church. It is no one. God chooses from the beginning of the world who is and who is not. Amen. He makes vessels for honor and dishonor. And who's going to tell God not to? Amen. Brother Branham says, I'm paraphrasing. I don't have the quote. But he says, if I know, preaching this God, the message, I'm wrong. And I know that I'm wrong. And I know if I continue doing it, I'm going to end up in hell. He says, nevertheless, if that's what God wants me to do, you cannot change it. Right. Nobody can change God's mind. It's a plan of God from the beginning. And you cannot make yourself something that you are not. Right. You know, God can change you, but you can't. So we see that in this case, Pharaoh was Pharaoh. You know, how can God will show his powers, his attributes, if there's not a negative? God did all this for a purpose. You said, but that, well, I don't know. That's right. You know, God, these people are going to destroy them. God is not destroying anybody. God is not a God of destruction. But in order for you to see the positive, you have to have a negative. See, in order to see the attributes of God, you know, you have to have something that is in the opposite to the attribute. Love, hate. I was in war. I don't know what peace was until I went to war. Because that's the law of contrast. You have to have one side in order for the other side to, you know, oh, it's there. I didn't know. Yeah, it is. Why? Because this negative side showed that it is a positive. You know, if there is a negative, Brother Brown said, there must be a positive somewhere. So we are, you know, the negative, maybe the shadow, but there's a positive that it can continue moving to the shadow. But one of these days, the shadow and the, they're going to get together. And voila, here we are. And we know that. But it's a sad thing, you know, that we know. It is not about man. We are not here to hate anybody and to send anybody to hell. You know, if you are a God person, you love people. You love the soul, I told you last time. You might not love what they do, but you love their soul. And they, verse 3, Exodus 5, 3, and they said, the God of the Hebrews had met with us. You know, we all got to go through that. You got to meet God. It's impossible that you start a journey without meeting God. In fact, a journey is not a journey until you meet God. Unless you get the Holy Ghost, you're not even in the game, if we can call it. You have to meet Him. You know, Abraham, after the battle was over, he met who? Melchizedek. But you know what? We all got to meet Melchizedek. We all need to meet Melchizedek and have communion with Melchizedek and break bread with Melchizedek. This is not just for Abraham. They just represent us. Sometime you're going to have to meet God. Oh, we stress so much in having the Holy Ghost. But if you don't know God, how can you be led? Because the Holy Ghost is the one that's going to lead you and guide you and show you all the things to come. In fact, everything that you need for this journey, it is on you already if you have the Holy Ghost. So how can you get started if you don't have nothing to start with? So it is imperative, it is alive that you need to meet God. He says, God of the Hebrew had met with us. Let us go. Now, let me make another comment here. They didn't meet God. They met Moses, right? Nobody has seen God. They didn't meet God. But God uses man. See? He uses him. He's his voice. He's his hands, his eyes. God uses man. So they didn't actually meet God. But Moses met God. He had an experience with God. And he can come and introduce him and said, God sent me. And he had a testimony. See? So I want you to know that if you say, well, you know, I wait until I have an experience with God. That is good. That is good. But that's why we're here. We preach about the Holy Ghost. And we preach about the Holy Ghost. And we set up the atmosphere for you to receive the Holy Ghost. You know, when? When is when? When you're going to get it? Oh, we're waiting on to receive it. When? If you know that much, tell me when. So I can come into that service so I can remind you, hey, today is the day. You say when? Today. You know, there's no when. When God starts pricking your heart, that is the time to accept the Lord. Not tomorrow. When the time that God starts dealing with your hearts. Let us go. We pray thee. 3 days journey into the desert. See? They met God. Now let's go. You know? There wasn't no more, let us stay here. By then they were ready to go. See? 3 days journey into the desert and sacrifice unto the Lord our God, lest they fall on us with pestilences or with the sword. Now, Revelation 22:18. Let me make a comment in that. Let's use Revelation 22:18-19. For I testify unto every man that hears my word. If you hear his word tonight, this is warning from me and you. If you hear the word or the prophecy of what? Of this book. Yeah, Brother Brown, God sent a prophet. See? To show us the book. We are the generation of the book, right? It says the book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And we know the 10 plagues. And if any man shall take away from the word of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. Listen, my friend, you know how to take a Bible. Oh, I don't like this. Well, I don't. You know how to take or add anything to it? If you don't believe, you're ready to get out of your life. When the prophecy, when the word comes forward, and you have to make a decision, you don't make excuses. Because that's doubting. And when you doubt, what you do, you take. That word has none effect in your life when you live here. So take every word. You know, maybe you don't understand every word that comes out, but the Brother Brown says, I don't understand the entire Bible, but I believe it all. Right. And that is the key. You must believe every word. Right. Because if not, you're deciding what you're going to believe and what you're not going to believe, what comes out and what takes in, even by making your mind that, oh, I don't think that is that way. Who are you? Did God die and make you a god of this world? Who can? See? Make decisions perfect as God is. When God says something, it's forever perfect. Can you do that? I can't. I try and I fail every time. See? But his word will never, never fail. So it behooves us, like Moses says, you know, we better do this because we know it came from God. And if we don't, we are going to be in bad shape again, back on the where they came from. See, and sometimes people come to church and they hear the word of God and they go out and, oh, that was a beautiful sermon. Yes, it was, and that's all, beautiful sermon. And if you don't apply it to your life and you don't believe those words, even though you don't know what it is, pray God to show you what it is. Amen. Because worst thing are going to happen. See? Because if you are a son or daughter of God, God will make you miserable until you believe him anyway. So might as well just go ahead and believe him. Amen. You know, don't prolong the suffering. God is going to make you right. Amen. So don't prolong the fourth. Just, here I am, Lord, you know. Do unto me, whatever. I don't understand everything, but just my Mary, do it unto me. So, Exodus 5:4, and the king of Egypt said unto them, therefore, do ye, Moses and Aaron, let the people from their work. See, it's a question. You know, these people need to be working, and you are not helping here. Let them go. Let them alone so they can do my work. And get you unto your burdens. And that's all the world will give you, works and burdens. You know, Satan might paint a pretty picture, but at the end, it's a burden. It's going to be miserable. It's going to be something that is going to take you anyway. Satan is not interested in your life. Satan is interested in destroying your life. So, you know, the king of Egypt, you know, represents the God of this, you know, age that we live in, Satan. And he says, just don't leave him alone, and then God give you something pretty, and they give you work to do out there, you know, and they keep you busy. That's why he just keep you busy, so you stay out of work, church. I don't think that's that way, because I got it pretty good, you know. I'm enjoying life. Well, there's nothing wrong to enjoy life. You have to enjoy it the right way. So, but, you know, a lot of work. And you know why Satan wants you to continue working and working and working? So it keeps you away from thinking and thinking what God is talking to you. There's a lot of voices out there that like to have you do a lot of things. But just to keep you away from the voice of God. There's all the voices that have come out in this world. And then it's all going to be a burden to you sooner or later. What to me? I told you my testimony. You think you're running away from God. All those things, sooner or later, you're going to dig a hole so deep that you cannot even come out. The further you stay away from God, the further you go, sin will take you as far. And you will never be able to return sometimes. So, because the further you go, the harder it is. Anyway. So, let us look at this king of Egypt for a minute. Who is this king of Egypt? It says, I don't know, but if you know this, but in his crown, it was engraved in that crown, it was a serpent in the middle. I've seen some movies of, you know, Moses and that, and they always have a thing with a serpent right in their crown. And they represent, and that represents Satan to begin with. So, therefore, the Pharaoh represents Satan, the prince of this world. Pharaoh can also represent the demonic, you know, forces in this world, the government, other spirits that like to influence people over the cities and all over everywhere. Because some people, if they are not following God, they have to follow something. Amen. If you're not serving God, you serve something else. That's all it is to it. So it is God or it is what? Satan. Amen. See, he's the prince of this world. He is on the governments of this world. So, according to what they're saying here, he is the one that represents, you know, Satan. So every time you are there and you have an opposition with the devil, you know it's not the devil incarnated, but it's Satan and all the influence that he have over governments. And people, you know, I hate to talk about politics, because I don't care much about politics, but I hear it all the time. But this new denomination coming in November to choose a president is, you know, I wish you know where we're standing. I don't want to make a case out of this, but if If Trump don't win, and I'm not saying that Trump is better, he's still a man. You know, he has his mistakes. He makes his errors, and you know, he's just like you and me. You know, just a man. However, the choices that his government are projecting is, and I look at the Democrats. You know, we have gone as far to the left that we are going to go. I mean, liberals right now, and I'm not saying that one is better than the other one, but I think if I had to vote, I had to choose the best of the worst. That's all it is to it. The governments are getting corrupt. Everything is corrupted. But we are going. If they continue the way it's going, we are here. Abortion going to be legalized. Everything that you stand for as a Christian is going to take away from you. That's where we are. That is the government of Egypt. Even Christians are going to be persecuted, even though we have some Christians being persecuted right now. But they will make some laws. They're going to make some laws that you're going to have to break in order to put you away. That's what happened to Daniel. What happened to Daniel? Well, he will pray every day. What happened to the four children, the Hebrew children? You know, they made a law. If you don't bow down and pray to the king and his image, and we know who the image was, the image of Daniel. And the three children said, "We are not." Well, you're out. And they will make laws that you will break. They know that you're going to break them, so they can take you in, so you can lose your right. Daniel, he prayed, and you know, those people were kind of jealous because the king put him in charge. He was the main guy because he told the visions that the king had, and he put him in charge of everything, and he was going to kill them all anyway. Daniel just saved them. But they were jealous, you know. So they wanted to get rid of him to begin with. So that is the same thing with this world coming out. You know, they don't want Christians, period. You know that they hate you for what you believe. Maybe right now in America things are going okay, but in other countries it's not this way. People are being persecuted just because they are Christians. So I'm saying that we are almost there. I don't know what's going to happen in November, but I'll tell you one thing. It cannot get no worse than what it is. It will get worse if the wrong person gets in there. Because you're going to lose just about all your rights. You know, so Daniel prayed. And they saw him, and they reported him. They will report you, you know, because the Bible says, Jesus said, mother against mother, child against father, you know. And they will. Who's going to turn you in? It's not going to be somebody out there, the Catholic Church, that don't know you. It will be somebody that know you to begin with. I'm not trying to scare you to anything, but I'm saying things are getting that bad. So they made a law that if anybody prayed, because they knew Daniel prayed twice a day, they made a law. If anybody prays, it's breaking the law. They can make laws, and there's some laws that probably don't even know they're coming, that if you break them, okay, I worked in a bakery. It was a case, I don't know if you understood this, but you know, now with the LGBT and all these things going on, there was a couple, same-sex couple, wanted to have a cake. I don't know if you read this, it was happened months ago, probably before the virus. And then they went in, they went in a cake, and the guy being a Christian down on the shop, he said, "I will not do it for you guys." Because he has some conviction. But you know what happened? They sued them. Yeah. They went to court. He won anyway for some legality that everybody forsook his right. See, he had the right to say no. Right. But that wasn't when the king, they were getting the, you know, that he was being, you know, homophobic, you know, about it. But it wasn't that. You know, one of these days, you know, I had a bakery and I was wondering, one of these days somebody want to walk. They do it just to harm you. That's all. So you can say no, and they can say, "You are prejudiced." See? And they make laws like that, and they're going to take you, and they take everything. That guy now is finally coming back from all this thing and what it cost them. But I think they're going to review the case again for something that they forgot anyway. But all I'm saying is there will be laws, and they're starting already making laws that Christians are going to have to stand for what they believe, and you might have to be persecuted. Now, maybe the Lord comes before all that and the rapture happens and you don't have to worry about it. But I don't know how much of that is going to be in before the rapture. I don't know. Amen. I don't know. But that is what's going on with Pharaoh. Pharaoh represents the devil, the opposition. But God, see, God can break the power of the devil. Amen. See, God already spoken, and it shall be done that way. Amen. And he told Moses, he told Abraham, you will go, and I give you a land. And already he made promises. Not even Pharaoh can break that promises. Amen. But God is working with the people of Israel, working with Moses until they can break the power. We have enough power to break the power of any devil that is in hell that comes to bother us. Do you know that you have that much power? You don't have to submit yourself to Satan. Go to the camp. Take everything. You don't have to worry, because it's not you to begin with. It's by God Almighty hand that he will do it. It's not you. I don't have no power to fight with Satan. But if I let God do my battles, you have to stand. If you don't stand for something, you fall for everything. You have to stand for what you believe and let God bring it to pass. See? You can try all you want to fight the devil. You are not much for the devil. But he is. He's greater that is in you than that one that is outside. So let him make all the laws and let him make everything they're going to do. I'm not worried, because even if I'm here, God has a purpose for that in my life. And 4, and the king of Egypt said unto them, therefore, Moses and Aaron, let the people, you are letting the people, you keeping them without working here. You taking them away from the work, and they need to get onto the burdens. Now, in Matthew 11:28 said, come unto me, all ye that are labor and heavy laden, and I will give you what? Rest. The world out there will give you a lot of burdens and a lot of work, and you get tired of being tired, and you don't even want to go to work sometimes, But we're not talking about, naturally, but spiritually, God can give you rest. What bothers you today, tonight? Any devils? Are you being afflicted? I don't care what it is. God can give you rest. God can give you peace. Because there's no other one can do that. In Matthew 11:30, it says, for my yoke is easy. See, sometimes we go out there and we think that, but the world is not no easy way to go. Why? Because the world wants to oppress you. They don't want to help you. They want to oppress you. And my burden is light. Now, take the burdens of Egypt and the people. Sometimes they were even dying. And they don't even give them what they have need to do the work, and they cannot miss, the products that they needed. But see, the Bible says, his yoke is easy and my burden is what? Light. Don't you want that? If I had to choose between the world and the burden, I already been there. I know what it is, So I will choose him. Tonight, if you have any problem with any burdens, it is not God that burned you in your life, because he said, my burden is light. It's not God that is making you that way, but he allowing that so you can wake up, smell the coffee and say, Lord, I'm tired, I'm sick, and whatever you have for me, I receive it. You can try to fight this thing by yourself. It's not going to work. So after the Israelite embraced the message, they said, let's go, And God delivered them from Egypt. Moses and Aaron declared the word of the Lord to Pharaoh, but he rejected it anyway. They accepted the message. Finally, God brought him to the point that they will accept that message to go out to the promised land. But Pharaoh said, wait a minute, they ain't going anywhere. Listen, sometimes, just because God gave you a promise and you accept and you believe it, that don't mean that, you know, Satan is going to be happy and let you go as it's that easy. He's going to bring opposition. He's always in opposition to the word of God, as he was then. So they rejected Moses. They rejected his message. And the Pharaoh retaliated against them too. Listen, don't think that just because you come to love divine and even you got the Holy Ghost that things are going to go. It's not a picnic easy for you. In fact, they're not going to improve sometimes. Because God has a plan. It's not in your time. It is in his time that things will happen. So, sometimes we accept the things of God, but sometimes the taskmaster increase their burdens. See? Because they was not able to complete the task now. That is even worse. So, listen, sometimes life will beat you down. Just because you are a son of God, daughter of God, that don't mean that now everything is going to be, you know, peachy. In fact, nothing is. There will be no victory without a fight. There will be no character without a fight. See? So when you accept, you can be here and you can say, I believe it, I accept it, it is mine, you know, and you go out, you know, that's not the end of it. God has to test you. God will test his children. And the Bible said that Satan sometimes, you know, instead of letting you go, the things get worse. And now you wonder why. Brother Branham used to tell us that when he prayed for people in the line and people had cancers or goiters and all kind of things in their body, he would pray and they feel good because that spirit died. But when they went back home, you see, the body has to pass all that through it. You know, all that poison and all that toxic, all that has to go through the body. And sometimes they got more worse than that moment that they felt the healing. But he says, don't worry about it. See, this is going to happen. It's not a time to be doubting God when things are getting worse. I'm talking to you. That's what I'm trying to tell you. Sometimes you have to accept the promise for God, but Satan is not going to just let you go. Oh, he believed. I'm done. No. Things might get worse. But you got to be patient. See, in your patience, you shall possess your soul. You have to be persistent. And you have to be positive. See? When the battle starts, you have to stand firm and do those three things. Because Satan wants you to doubt. You know, that's what the lawyer do in court. That was a good lawyer. You know, the defense, and you got the other guy. And the only thing they had to do is create just a little doubt on the jury. That's all they had to. That okay, they had to lie, whatever they do, but they will be bringing stuff. So the jury can say, uh-oh. And that's all they did, because if they have a little doubt, they cannot condemn the person. So Satan, you believe a promise, and the first thing that happened, he want to create what? A doubt. Did I get healed? Well, he prayed for me, and I don't feel it, and I felt good, but now, you know, I got worse, I got fever, and I got all this stuff coming. So a man came to Brother Branham one time, and he says, you are full prostrate. He said, why? Because you prayed for me, and I didn't get healed. And Brother Branham said, you told me you believe. So if you believe, then all things are possible. Maybe you have to be patient, and maybe you're going to have to, you know, dig your heel down and be persistent and be positive. Because it's not just going to be handed to you like we are not robots. I mean, if God wanted robots, he had a bunch of angels that worship him. See, God wants you and me to love him because we care. We love him because who he is. You know, what kind of a father will give you everything you want? If I give everything my children want, I will ruin my children. They will never learn anything. The only thing that we learn is, I need it, daddy, give it to me, and that's all. But when daddy died, what's going to happen to them? I ruined them completely. But what happened if they had to save some money and pay for what they want? See, I give him a toy. I find the toy somewhere junked up. And they're playing with a box. I said, my goodness, all this expensive stuff. And they're playing with a box and a stick. I said, oh, man, I should have bought him a box and a stick. Why? Because you bought it and you gave it to them. And when you give people things, they don't appreciate it. And you think God is going to hand things to you. I said, you don't. Good. But when he tells you, you will appreciate God. And you are going to appreciate those bad times. You're going to appreciate the good times. You're going to appreciate everything in God's time. So that is why sometimes, well, I'm not going to say that you didn't get what you wanted. The blind man, you know, was prayed in one of Brother Branham's services. He didn't get healed right there. He went a whole week saying, I'm healed. He was persistent, brother. He was persistent guy. Selling paper, read all about it, news, blind man see. He couldn't even see blood, you know. But he's over there, you know, positive, always, patient, waiting. He never had a doubt in his mind. He was healed, he accepted it, he believed it, that settles it. Now, did he get it that day? No. Did he knew when he was going to get it? No. Did you think that stopped him? No. See, he stood in that promise. He stood there until that Friday, went to get a haircut. And they were mocking him. Brother Henry, can you imagine your own family? You know, that you said, well, I got prayed and I'm fine, but really they're looking at your symptoms. And Brother Van said, don't look at your symptoms. Look at the promise. But see, they look at the symptoms and say, you're lying. No, we're not lying. That man wasn't lying. And when they started mocking him on Friday, they would get a haircut, and they started on him. As soon as his eye came what? Open. Did he knew it was going to take a week? No, it could have taken 3 weeks. It could have taken 13 years. It could have taken 25 years. But you have to be persistent. Always positive. Don't let Satan put any negative thoughts in your mind. You know, I get a lot of thoughts in my mind, but I had to just let them go, you know, resist the devil. And let them come if they're going to come. You don't have to entertain them. You don't have to think about it. The other day, I went to a trip from here to see my daughter. And it's been more than 10 days since I came back. So I said that because sometimes you go on a trip. If you're going to go on a trip, you know, in Ohio, there's a mandate that you have to stay 14 days. In what you call that, in quarantine before you even go to any church. That's a mandate of the government, not the churches. So, because if you come out of state, they don't know where you came from. You was in a spot that was hot, zero, you know, and so that you have to. So I went to Brother Adair and I didn't go to the church. And after a week later, it was already 10 days, and he invited me to go and preach over there. I said, no, because I'm leaving today. But even himself, he knew that. As a pastor, that's the mandate. If somebody comes from another state, you need to be quarantined. I'm not saying that because the same thing with me. I've been back more than 10 days. So, but if you go anywhere, the mandate is, it's not a mandate in Tucson, in Arizona. But it's a good idea that if you go any place, to at least wait 10 days. You know? I'm just telling you because I'm your brother, not because, you know. But that is the way. Anyway, because I said I went out, and some people say, oh, well, he went on vacation, but it's okay. No, we cannot break, you know, the discipline that we have in our church. Why? To protect those that are at risk, like me. So anyway, that's just a non-paid commercial. So where was I? I don't know. So I went in that trip. And then I came back, and I got home, and I didn't see my tablet. I don't know where my tablet. So I thought I left it at one of the motels because I was studying and looking. I couldn't find it. I went to the car, and I looked in my rucksack, in my maletas, in, you know, in my suitcases and everything. And I said, well, you know, I'm not going to get all bent out of shape. I mean, so what I'm going to do is I'm just going to trust the Lord. I'm going to ask the Lord, you know, whenever, it's your time. But I believe that you can do something for me. Brother Brown says, if I leave my pocket knife at home, I know I can put it in my pocket. I don't know if I got that kind of faith, but I believe that God can do something. I don't know how he's going to do it, but just to believe that God can do that for me, see? So, but you know what I had to do? I had to fight the devil every inch of the way, every day, because he wanted to put things in my mind. Well, you know, somebody took it, or you will never see it, and they're not going to send it to you. You left it in them. But this is what you can do. You can buy another. I mean, they came. But I just decided not to dwell in that. Okay. And I kept going. Claiming, you know, my promise. I will find it. Somehow God should be able to put it so I can find it. So that was a week ago that I left it in Tuesday. It was Tuesday. I stayed in the motel on a Tuesday. Monday night. It's been more than a week. Then I came to church. No, I didn't come to church on a Wednesday. I told you to stay home just to make sure, you know, we all okay, 10 days and no symptoms, you know. I didn't come on Wednesday. I was in town on Wednesday, but I came on Sunday. So, anyway, I'm just coming now to church, and my wife opened the glove compartment to get some chewing gum. We do that all the time. You know, because we have coffee, and I want coffee breath when I come to church, so we keep chewing gum. And we do it on Sundays. We do it on Wednesday, you know, every time we... I mean, it's nothing that I do, you know, here and there. I do it just about every time I come to church because I have coffee. So, and she opened, and I looked, and I screamed like a little girl. And my wife got scared. What's wrong? And she thought I was having a heart attack. And I said, don't you see what I see? And she said, and she looked again. They were right there. Amen. See, all you have to do is just believe. And leave it on his hands. And I don't care what need you have today. It might take a little longer, but it doesn't matter. It is done. He promised it. It is done. You might have to fight for your whatever. You have to fight for your deliverance. You might have to fight for being good. You have maybe a sickness, and you have to fight for things. But you know why? You have to. That is your part, in my part. You know, but it is easy because the fight belongs to the Lord. Amen. All I had to do, David, you know, when David got to that point that saw that big giant, he didn't start, I don't know, this is a big one. I mean, I fought lions and, you know, bear, but this guy is too much for me. I mean, that's twice as much that I had done before. I mean, I never had this kind of a challenge. This is my first one. He didn't start entertaining any thought. He said, let me at it. Just let me at it. And that is how it should be, our attitude in everything. Whatever comes to, whatever challenge comes from Satan, you know, stand, you know, and proclaim the promise. Take your promise, believe it, and let the fire fly, whatever it's going to fly. I know one thing, God will make a way for me. But the fight, you know, it's going to come to you. You don't have to, you know, worry about it. The fight will come to you. And you need to stand in those moments. Ephesians 5:5-10. Ephesians, it says, and Pharaoh said, behold, the people of the land now are many, and you make them rest from their burdens. Come on, Moses. You know, I got things to do, you know. Pharaoh commanded the same day that the taskmasters of the people and their officers, saying, ye shall not more give them people straw to make bricks as heretofore. Let them go and gather their own straw. And the tail of the bricks which they did make thereafter, you shall lay upon them, ye shall not diminish unto them. Therefore, for they be idle. Therefore, they cry, saying, let us go and sacrifice to the Lord. Cry. Wow. You know, I don't think, I cry to the Lord, but I'm not going to cry, you know. Just because they're saying, you know, we're going to do this to you. You go to the doctor, say, you got cancer, we have to do this to you. Hey, cancer was just as, for God, it's just like a headache. You know, what's the difference to God? Don't get worried, see? He says, let their more work be laid upon them, that they may labor there, and let them not regard vain words. See, that's what devil wants, to keep you occupied so you don't think about the good things of God. Well, I'm too busy, I'm too tired, I don't think I'm going to church. Well, see, busy, tired, burdens. Oh, I had a hard day. Well, we all have a hard day. But not me, I'm retired. No, I have a hard day too. So, but sometimes all this thing happens because Satan is trying to keep you from your promise, trying to keep you from your deliverance, trying to keep you, you know, for the good things of God. Don't let Satan stand in your way. See, he wanted to keep them busy so they would not hear the voice of God. There's many voices out there now. And one of the things that Satan wants is to disfellowship. That's what happened in the garden. You know, this coronavirus happened. It's all the fellowship. This is Satan. See, churches are empty. They're not. Some of the Muslims, they're not even open. Why? Because Satan knows that God likes fellowship. But he's trying to keep everybody separated. But that's not God. That is Satan. All this thing is him. Him doing things. See? We like fellowship with God. See? And that's what I told you with Daniel. They made laws. They made laws to separate. To separate you from what you love more to do. And that's to worship the Lord. You know? And number 10, and the tax makers of the people went out, and their officers, and they spake to the people, saying, that's a Pharaoh. You know, it sounds like some people that they want to have control. That's a Pharaoh. But you know what? I don't care. They put him in lower cases, you know, because it's a man. It's not God. I don't know how much a man can do and bring to pass. We are not perfect. We are not perfect, and that's our problem. That I don't care how much you decide you're going to do, it's always up to God. Because he knows what's perfect. Pharaoh, then, it is God of this world. It represents the same thing, the God of this world. Therefore, sometimes instead of things getting better and improving, they become worse sometimes. But don't dismay. Don't worry about it. That means things are working. You know, be careful when everybody is saying good things about you and everything is going well and you got money and you're healthy and you everything is pitchy. You know, I worry if everything goes pitchy. Because that means Satan is not after me. So sometimes, you see, things get worse just like the Israelite. Anyway, they had to blame somebody. Somebody always had to blame somebody, like they blame Moses. See? They blame Moses and Aaron. See, and they even asked God to judge them for the burdens. They were put more burdens on them. You know, don't come here. I'm blaming the church for your troubles. Don't blame me. Don't blame the pastor. You know, that's the first thing we do. We have a problem. The first one we blame is sometimes my wife or the husband. Yeah. You know, like I told you before, it is not the man. It is Satan. See, so if things don't get better and it gets worse, then praise the Lord, because you're going to have a victory anyway. Amen. There's victory. The worse it gets, the victory will be more sweeter anyway. Amen. See, so they blame Aaron, they blame Moses, because the Pharaoh, Satan, opposes everything, you know, that God do, you know, and he don't want you to obey the Lord. No wonder, you know, that the whole journey is here. To see if you're going to obey God or not. That's the whole journey. You know? So to see if they're going to obey the voice of God. Tonight, you're going to have the choice to make. You know, I said tonight because this is all we got. I don't know about tomorrow. And yesterday's gone. But tonight, if you hear something, God wants to prove you to see if you're going to do what? Obey his voice. If you are his voice, you have a choice to make. Amen? And depending on what you choose, that's where the things are going to go. So Exodus 5:20-21 says, and Moses returned unto the Lord and said, Lord, where hast thou so evil into these people? And I went, you know, hey, I went there, you was going to deliver it, but things got worse. You know, how can this happen? Why? It is that thou hast sent me. Oh, he's complaining. He's going to complain to somebody else, the boss. You know, why did you send me? You knew these things are going to get worse. You want to deliver the people, and nothing is worse than it was at the beginning. So why did you send me? said, for since I came to the Pharaoh to speak in thy name, he had done evil to these people. See? But it was the Pharaoh. Satan, that's his business. In fact, that is his work, his job, and he do his job well. He's a good enemy. See? And God uses him. See? To test you. To see if you're going to obey. To see if you're going to believe. That's all. Because either we're going to believe God or we're going to believe something else. And the situation sometimes get worse before they can improve. Sometimes you hit bottom. You know, sometimes you just don't find a way out. You don't even see the light at the end of the tunnel. But it doesn't matter, Brother Jose. What matters? Because at the end, God is going to bring about his promises. And maybe your burden increases and everything increases. After God speaks to you, maybe tonight or whenever Brother was here preaching, whoever preaches, and you believe God, and you say, God spoke to me. Well, Satan is not happy. That's what they tell Brother Doug says sometimes. People tell him, are you afraid of talking about the devil that way? I said, no. He says, no. Because sometimes, you know, people think, you know, you better keep kind of hush-hush because the more you talk about him, the worse thing gets. Well, I'm not afraid of the devil. I don't care how bad things get. And if everything increases. But you have to have endurance. See, I told you have to be positive. You have to be persistent. And you have to be patient in this journey. See? Because you're going to be proven. I don't care how small, how big you are going to be tested. Nobody likes testing. But he said, when testing comes, counter what? All joy. You should praise the Lord. Forget about what Satan is trying to tell you. But don't you praise the Lord. Continue praising the Lord. Because sooner or later, he will leave you alone. He can't stand it. So we have to have endurance in this journey. Because the enemy will confront you. But until all his power is taken away from him. Because that is our hope. And we are not hoping against hope, even though Abraham was when his hope against hope. Do I shall have this baby or not? I mean, getting old, and she's older, and 25 years have gone by. But you know what? God said it. How it's going to come to pass? I don't know. But God promised it to me. So God is able to bring that to pass. Amen? But the enemy is going to confront you. So, and here in chapter 7, I'm not going to read it. You know, the 10 plagues that fell on Egypt was a judgment. So everything that happened to Egypt, it wasn't your fault. It wasn't their fault. See, God is doing two things here. Trying to deliver their children. But also, he's trying to judge those that where their offense came from. So don't worry about it. It's not your business. You don't have to... the vengeance is of the Lord, not you. God will take care of those that oppress you, those that afflict you, all those that Satan uses it to influence, to do bad things to you. God will take care of that. See? You don't have to worry about it. That's what the Bible said. Jesus said, love your enemy. Let them do whatever they do to you, but you need to love your enemy, his soul. Maybe you don't know what they're doing to you, but sooner or later, all that is going to turn into victory for you sooner or later. And the taskmasters and the people went out and their office and the officers, and they spoke to the people saying, thus said Pharaoh, I will not give you straw. I read that one. So in Exodus 20 and 21, and Moses returned to the Lord and said to the Lord, and I read that one too, hast thou so even treated to these people? What is that thou hast sent me? Sometimes we don't understand everything, you know, accept it. Not everything you can understand, but you must believe God in everything. God don't share everything with you. God don't share everything with prophets. God is not going to tell you when and how things are going to happen. But they are going to happen. That's all I care. See? He don't give you a time. And he don't tell you how things are going to be worked. He just wants you to obey him and to believe him. That's all. So, Exodus 20 and 25, 20 and 21. And Moses returned unto the Lord. Oh, I read that one. For since Pharaoh, 21, for since I came to the Pharaoh to speak in thy name, he had done evil to these people, neither hast thou delivered thy people at all. So things got worse. And God was judging not only trying to deliver their people, but they were judging the gods of Israel. I mean, the gods of Egypt. They have many gods, and he was judging those gods. See, and Exodus 12:12 says, "For I will pass through the land," and this is the last episode here, the event that's going to happen before they come out. "For I will pass to the land of Egypt this night, and I will smite the firstborn and the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt I will execute them." See, judgment. He was passing judgment in the world, you know. I am the Lord. And then in Ephesians 6:12 says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood." This is not your battle. This is not my battle. But this is the Lord. "But against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of this darkness, of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." Numbers 33:4. I'm going to finish reading this one. "For the Egyptians bury all their firstborn, which the Lord has smitten among them. Upon their gods also the Lord executed judgment." So it was a dual purpose. Deliver my people and the final judgment. Don't worry about it. This earth is going to be judged. See? Maybe after you come out, it will be judged. So God was judging Pharaoh and the Egyptians, and that's why he sent all these plagues. He was judging their gods, not their people, not Israel, but their God. And so what I'm saying is God has two things going. He's fighting the Egyptian. He has a battle with them and another battle to take him out, because they were already rejecting. I mean, yeah, Moses, why did you come over here? You make things difficult for us, worse, you know. So it's the thing going on, see. But God will do it anyway. So that was his primary battle is to with the world. See, because they received the power from Satan, the influence. Now, Ephesians 6:12, I just read to you, and Zechariah 4:6. "Now by might, not by power, you know this, but by my spirit, said the Lord. For the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands." He promised the promised land. He promised he would deliver them, take them all the way out, and God, see, will bring it to pass. He will give us our, you know, reward. You know, you don't have to worry how you're going to get there. You just need to get there. See? You don't have to know everything. But you must believe God. So in Matthew, I want to read in Matthew 6:24, because they resisted Moses, see? He says, "No man can serve two masters," see? They needed to make a decision, either we stay here or either we go. You always had a decision to make. You have a choice to make tonight. You always have a choice. Don't blame me, don't blame the pulpit, don't blame the pastor of the church. You have a choice. It is your choice. See? It says, "No man can serve two masters," see? For either he will hate one, either you're going to reject one and you're going to love the other one, just like Pharaoh. Pharaoh rejected the whole message. See? It says, "Either he will hate one and love the other, or else he will hold to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon," see? You cannot serve the world and you cannot serve God at the same time. It has to be a plain decision. And once you make that decision, you cannot return. Brother Rand says, if you're sick and you decide to go to the doctor, do everything like that doctor told you. You cannot stop in the middle and tell him, "I don't like this. You're not going to do this. I'm just going to go back to believe." But if that's what you do at the beginning, believe, and you decide not to go to the doctor, then stick to your ground. That don't mean that the doctor's going to heal you. God is the healer anyway. But whatever way you choose, stick with that. You cannot, you know, a man is not stable when, you know, dwelling in two thoughts. You cannot be a stable person. Either choose one or the other one. But whatever way you choose, the Bible said if you are not hot, it's in Revelation, or cold. It says choose. Because if you were hot, I know how to deal with you. But if you cold, I also know how to deal with you. But if you are lukewarm, trying to play these 2 points, you know, he said, I cannot deal with you. God will not do anything until you make your decision. That's how much power you have. You know that God will not pressure you or push you and tell you, I'm going to make you. God will not make you do anything. You know that the power is in your tongue. You decide. It is your choice. If God is going to help you or something else, you will do something else. So don't blame anybody. It is your choice. And whatever choice you make, you have to put up with whatever choice you make. And don't blame anybody else. People say, but the devil made the you chose that. Okay? Nobody can make you do anything. So, in Titus 6:10 says, for the love of the money is the root of evil, which while some covet after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. And the money, you know, we need money. You know? But what he's saying is the love of money. Because there's only thing you can do. You can love God with all your heart, with all your body, with all your soul, or you can love money. So money is not bad. It's just the root. It says money is the root of all evil. If we love money more than we love God. And some people love more riches. It was a man in the Bible. He says, well, now I'm rich, and now I have everything I want. And he put all... Oh, he made some silos and put all the food and said, now I can, you know, I'm retired because I got all I need. And I can, and that night, God required his soul. See? We make a decision. And then we have to reap the consequences. Now, if you make a mistake, God is ready to forgive us. Mm-hmm. For sure. Say, now one more. Love not the world, neither the things of the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Again, the decision was we could go out, we accept the message or not. That was their decision to make. So we don't want to compromise with the world. They were not going to compromise with Egypt. They're always going to believe and they're going to focus on Christ. See, it doesn't matter. You know, sometimes I was talking to my wife. You know, sometimes... the Bible said, even if your wife leaves you, even if your children, sometimes you have to make a decision and everybody, your friends are going to leave you. Sometimes your own family leaves you. I know in this message some of our brothers that accepted this message and their wife left. You know, when I came back 4 years ago and I started in this message, I know they lost their wives. They didn't want to continue. So sometimes you have to count your loss. When you make your decision, but who you love more? Your wife or God? Who you love more? The world or God? Who you love more? Money? God. Prestige? Pleasures? Brevan says popularity or God? So the reason we are here is because we love God more than we love Egypt. They wanted to return back to Egypt because they figured out this is not what I signed for. You know, count the cost before you start. See? It says, do not compromise with the world. See, always believe Christ. So after they came out, the last thing they did before they come out, and I don't think I'm going to take them out tonight, but anyway. It was the Passover. Let's get to the Passover at least. And the blood shall be for you for a token upon the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. See, this was the Passover. And the Passover represents the salvation of Israel. You know, by the blood, the lamb. See? So that was the last thing that happened. And today is the same thing. We need the blood of Jesus. Amen. The blood of Jesus is our protection. Because without it, you cannot confront the enemy. Remember that guy in the book of Acts, that he was a magician and he had people, you know, hypnotized and doing things and that. And when Paul went over there, he started preaching. You know, he thought that he took his business now because only believe. That's all you have to do. That's how simple it is. So the guy wanted to buy. He said, can I buy You cannot buy that. There's no money to buy that. But see, he tried it anyway. And what the devil told him, you know, Paul I know, and Peter, I mean, and Paul I know, and I don't know, he says, but you know why? He was not under the blood. Because the blood, we need the blood. It's the power of the blood that saves us. From the land of Egypt, from the devil, from every situation we are, we had to be on the. But the man says the token was the one, you know, most important sermon, the token. And if you don't have the token, that is the Holy Spirit in your life, the blood is applied. You know, it is not physical blood that we put now in the doors, but the blood, when it's applied to your life, it shows. And when Satan come and see that blood, he cannot pass over you. So we need the blood. In the Passover represents salvation for you and me. And this is the blood that is going to preserve our life. And it's going to save us when we confront the enemy. The power of the blood in the land of Egypt saved them. And it's going to save us today. It had the same power yesterday that it has today. Amen. And that is all the love of God in our life. Let's see, I have one more. The love of God is all the love and the grace of God and mercy. Okay, shall we stand to our feet? So we take him out next time I'm on the pulpit. Anyway, it is all by the love of God, and I am so thrilled about God's love, because nothing can separate me from His love. There's not enough demons in hell to separate me. See, and the love of God is unconditional, because that's what it is. And more than being unconditional, the love of God will even save us from death. I mean, death is just the last enemy. But the love of God is not only unconditional, but Jesus dying the cross, that was the love of God for you and me. See? It's not only that it's unconditional, but the love of God goes so far as far as He has to do what He needs to do for you and me, even to die in a cross. So tonight, Isaiah 61 says, "Arise, shine, for the light is come, the evening light, and the glory of God is risen upon thee." So the bride can arise because we are in a journey. And in this journey, we're not alone. We are under this blood. The blood protects us and breaks every change and breaks every, you know, Father. We don't have to worry tonight. We don't have to be afraid. We don't have to dismay, because God will see us. The one that started the work, it will finish the work. Amen. And that is the message of this hour. We accepted the message of this hour, like Israel had to accept the message of Moses. We had our Moses. We had our prophet. And we accepted the message of this hour. And this is the message that took you out, and it will see you all the way through. Amen. To your promise. Amen. To inherit all what belongs to you, and all the way to sit in the throne with Him. Amen. We are free. God has set us free to worship Him in heavenly places. Amen. You are free to worship. If you don't feel free to worship, there's something wrong. Because if the Son of God set you free, you are free indeed. So what's holding you back for worshiping God? God has taken you from the world so you can worship Him tonight. That is, everything that has a breath, worship the Lord. Amen. What kind of a breath is that? The breath of life. There's only one. If God has breathed on you the breath of life, you can worship Him tonight. Amen. Amen. If not, then we see an opportunity still. If you hear His voice, He's still here to make you feel that way. Because He's the only one can make us feel that way. Amen. Can we sing something? Arise, shine, something like that? I don't know. What is my... Okay, he's not here yet. You got to help me, because I don't... All right. For the...
the light is come.
Amen. The message of the hour. Has risen upon you. I shine, and it's shining upon your life. It's God.